From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 83, Rob Parker.
Welcome into the podcast. I'm your host, Rob Parker. What a great show we have for you this week. Former NBA champ and one of the biggest baseball fans going, Eddie Howe stops by to talk some baseball. Can't wait for that. Plus, we will have J.R. Gamble with Foul or Fair. That and much more. Let's go.
To lead off, it's getting robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball.
Number one.
Man, these final 2 weeks of the season will be very, very interesting. And I don't know, as far as drama goes, the American League wild card is as good as it gets. Going into Wednesday night's action, the Red Sox were 1.5 games in front of the other two teams vying for a wild card, the Blue Jays, and then the Blue Jays had a half a game lead on the Yankees. So those three teams going into Wednesday were fighting for two of the final three spots. The Blue Jays came out of nowhere, got caught fire. The Red Sox have gotten it revved back up. They're on a hot streak. And the Yankees, after having a red-hot streak of winning 13 in a row, then they slumped, and now they're back into it. So now there's a chance that the Yankees and Red Sox might make it, or the Blue Jays might knock one of those two teams out. And the Yankees, I still look at them and say, with the way that they've put it together, and I'll say this, they finally got a dose of the Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton. Like, this is what people have been thinking about for a long time, and whether or not, you know, these two guys could stay healthy and both mash, and they've both been mashing. But here's the other part that people don't really think about when you think about the Yankees, because you always think about home runs and the big hitters, and you figure that, you know, they're going to outscore people. But if anything, this Yankee team has been about pitching, too. And the staff behind Gerrit Cole, right, was supposed to be a concern, but it really isn't, if you're honest. And going into Wednesday, the Yankees are tied with the Rays for the sixth best ERA in the majors. Meanwhile, the Yankees scoring only 19th. Who would have thought that the Yankees would be more about pitching than offense? They scuffled time and time again, but it is about the pitching. And so these final few weeks, we'll see where that pitching, if it holds up, if it does, and there's some big hits, the Yankees can find themselves in the playoffs again. And then, you know, I would be afraid of the Yankees if they do get in, because we saw in August when they ran off those 13 in a row, they can beat you with the pitching mound, off the pitching mound, or at the plate. So the Yankees are scary. This wild card race is tremendous.
Number two.
The Cincinnati Reds have rewarded manager David Bell with a new 2-year contract extension through 2023. And you know what? David Bell deserves it. This was the final year of his initial 3-year deal to manage the team. And Bell's done a good job. Coming into Wednesday, he has a 184-190 record in Cincinnati, including a 78-74 record this season with 10 games left, and they still have a shot at the playoffs. So last year, the Reds were 31-29 in that abbreviated 2020 season. They reached a wild card series before being swept in 2 games by the Braves. But the Reds are viable and have a good team, and came on. And you got to, if you're going to criticize and fire managers when things don't go right, I think it's only right that David Bell gets a new contract, because the Reds were fun. They're over 500. They're in the hunt. They get hot. Could they get in the playoffs? They could. So congratulations and mazel tov to David Bell. and his new 2-year contract extension in Cincinnati.
Number 3.
Going into Wednesday, the San Francisco Giants keep hanging on. They had a dramatic come-from-behind victory over the Padres Tuesday night in the series opener at Petco Park. And I'll tell you, what makes the Giants so scary and unbelievable are players like Lamont Wade Jr. This guy has blossomed and comes up with big hits. They get contributions from everywhere. On Tuesday night, Wade Jr. had a go-ahead RBI single to give the Giants a 6-5 comeback victory. He's done this all year. Coming into the season, Wade Jr. had something like 2 or 3 lifetime home runs in the big leagues. And this year he has 18 or 19, somewhere around that number, out of nowhere. And he's been a big part. But this San Francisco Giants team just doesn't seem to go away. The Dodgers have a run differential of like plus 250 runs, like ridiculous. And they can't get in first place in the NL West. And coming into Wednesday, the Giants had 11 games remaining, trying to wrap up this division out of nowhere. People just had no idea how good the Giants would be. You know, people know about Buster Posey, you know, that's a Hall of Fame kind of catcher. People know him. But for the most part, there's a lot of no names. And that's incredible. And let me just give you one more number on Wade and how good this guy is and why the Giants are where they are. You ready for this? Wade is now 12 for 19. That's a .632 batting average with a 1.597 OPS and 11 RBIs in the ninth inning this year. Did you hear me? 12 for 19 in the ninth inning. Incredible with 11 RBIs off of those 12 hits. It's players like that that lift teams and give them a chance to win. So hats off to Lamont Wade Jr.
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
All right, now let's welcome into the podcast Eddie House, the former NBA champ and lover of baseball. Yes, he is the biggest baseball fan going. Eddie, welcome to the podcast, and let's just jump right into it. Are you a fan of the wild card? How exciting will it be in the AL East, especially with the Yankees, Red Sox, and Jays all vying for those two spots in the wild card? And which teams do you think will make it, and why?
Yes, I love the wild card for this reason. It gives some added excitement to not only the fan base, but it also gives a team that doesn't win a division an opportunity to get a chance to play in the playoffs and possibly get to the World Series. All you have to do is get hot at the right time, get rolling, your pitchers start pitching well, guys start hitting the ball, and it all comes together. And from that wild card, you could become World Series champions. So for that reason alone and the excitement and being a baseball fan and extending it and giving more opportunities for other teams to get in, I love it. And speaking of the wild card, the two teams that I think is going to come out of the wild card or are going to win a wild card, I should say, are these are familiar foes. They're familiar faces. We've all heard a story about them. The rivalry is unmatched in baseball, and that's Boston and New York. You know, you got two teams where the fan bases don't like each other. A lot of times the players don't like each other. They're bitter rivals, eternal enemies. And I think that those two teams are going to be the ones that come out of the American League to win that wild card. I mean, look, you just follow the money and follow the star power. Both teams have star power. Both teams are huge draws. I think that with the way that they've been playing here of late, that they're going to be the ones that advance and get an opportunity to play and compete for a World Series.
The Giants and Dodgers are still in the dogfight for the division. With 10 games left going into Thursday, come on, Eddie, who's going to win the NL West crown? Will it be the Dodgers who won the last 8 years or the out-of-nowhere Giants?
Looking at the remaining schedule, I believe San Francisco will win the West. Both teams are closing out the season with games versus the Padres, versus the Rockies, and the D-backs. The Rockies and D-backs, not formidable opponents, but we know the Padres have been tough, but they've been slipping here of late. The fact that the Dodgers have Milwaukee for their last homestand is something that makes me give the nod to San Francisco, because San Francisco closes out against the Padres. The Padres been skidding a little bit, had injuries, been beat up, and the Giants have been steady all season long. I think the Brewers will come in against the Dodgers and give them a real tough series right there at the end of the season. So for that reason, I have to give the nod to Bay Area, San Francisco, Giants.
Eddie, if Vlad Guerrero Jr. wins the Triple Crown in the American League, is he the MVP or no? It's going to be Shohei Ohtani no matter what.
This is kind of splitting hairs, you know. But at the same time, both guys have had great seasons. And I'm talking about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Shohei Ohtani. You look at what Guerrero has done. If he has an opportunity to win the Triple Crown, to me, if you win a Triple Crown, that's historic in itself. Not that Ohtani's not doing anything historic, but if you win the Triple Crown, I think that automatically gives you the nod to be the MVP of that season. But he has a lot of work to do. With 10 games left, he's 10 RBIs behind the leader, so he has some climbing to do. On the flip side of that coin, I look at Ohtani and what Ohtani has done over this year. He's hitting just as well as Guerrero Jr. is in the home run category and the RBI category, but he has accounted for 9 wins for his team because 3.28 ERA is something that can't be accounted for when you're only talking about batting, because he's doing it on both sides. This is somebody that I have just marveled over the fact of how well he is with the stick and how well he is with the ball in his hand on the mound. I've never seen anything like this. And with Guerrero not catching the leader in RBIs, I would have to give the nod to Showtime as being the MVP.
Eddie, you've said a couple times on this podcast how Ricky Henderson was your favorite player. You know, Ricky, the all-time steals leader. Yes. How much do you enjoy Ohtani and Tatis bringing base stealing back into the game?
As a lifelong A's fan and Ricky Henderson fan, there was nothing better than seeing Ricky slide in safely, stealing any base, second or third, didn't matter. Seeing him get up, dust himself off, take a look at the pitcher and the catcher, knowing he got the best of them. In the neighborhood, we called it a Ricky slide, not a head first slide. The pizzazz, the flair, mixed with aggression. You had to love it. You had to love it. That's a lost art now. But we have two superstars who are trying to bring it back to the forefront. Not only do they get it done at the plate, but they also get it done on the base path. And that's Shohei Ohtani and Tatis Jr. Those two guys are bringing that lost art that people forgot how important it is to the game of baseball back to center stage. They're not only doing things, hitting the ball over the fence, but they're getting on the base pass, getting to second, getting to third, giving their team an opportunity to score runs when a lot of times people think you don't have that opportunity. But if you steal that base, you're 90 feet closer to getting where you need to get. I love seeing the stars doing it, and I hope it continues to grow, because it's a huge part of my life. Me being a baseball fan is a huge part of what I seen growing up. So I hope that continues.
All right, Eddie. Thanks, man. We appreciate it. Thanks for the knowledge. And I love that you love baseball, my man.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. It's time for the Pocket Protector Central. The analytic numbers you need to know. Well, maybe.
Anthony Masterson is his name. BS Analytics is his game. What do you got for me, Anthony?
Hyperbole is such a crutch in today's world of sports debate. This is the worst the game has ever been. Shohei Ohtani is having the greatest season ever. I'll die if the Yankees don't make the playoffs. It's exhausting. Now, this is somewhat of a subtweet about Royals catcher Salvador Perez. On Monday, Perez broke the single-season home run record by a primary catcher with 46, passing the legendary Johnny Bench. Now, Perez is having the best season of his career, 115 RBI, 866 OPS, as he tries to become the first ever AL catcher to lead the circuit in home runs. Now, that's led to a lot of talk about Sal having the best season ever for a catcher, which, okay. I want to scream from the rooftops, this is not an indictment on Sal Perez, a future Hall of Famer and a wonderful ambassador for the game. No, this is an indictment of how we fail to contextualize the present. The home runs, sure, even if a third of them have come as a DH, fine. The RBI, don't even crack the top 10 for a catcher. The OPS, not in the top 100 seasons ever for a catcher. Neither the OPS Plus, which takes into account era and league. The 5.3 wins above replacement, just barely in the all-time top 100 seasons for a catcher as well. Guys like Piazza, Bench, Carter, Fisk, Campanella, they can all lay claim to some of the best seasons ever for a catcher. Sal Perez is having a phenomenal year, but please, just let the present breathe a bit before trying to get clicks.
And what that ball is!
It was a big week in the big leagues.
Who's up? Who's up?
I don't believe it! My, oh my!
Is it foul or is it fair? And now, from MLBBro.com, here's J.R. Gamble.
John Lester recently won his 200th game, joining Zach Greinke and Justin Verlander as the only 200-game winners currently in Major League Baseball. J.R., is it foul or is it fair to say, especially considering the home run happy era they pitched in, that all three of these pitchers are Hall of Famers?
Foul.
That is a foul ball.
This was a hard one because I have to adjust for error. 200 plus wins in an MLB career now is like 250, 300 wins 30 years ago. My automatic picks are Justin Verlander, and let's throw Max Scherzer in there. He's got 190 wins and should eclipse 200 early next season. He's 15-4 this year and on his way to a fourth Cy Young Award. That speaks for itself. Verlander leads the pack with 226 wins over 16 seasons. He's won 20 twice with a high of 24 wins in 2011. The man has two Cy Young Awards and seven top five finishes in the Cy Young voting. And he has an American League MVP award under his belt, as well as a beautiful wife. So Verlander, he's got it locked down. He'll be in Cooperstown. Lester and Greinke, on the other hand, not as sure, but they could both get in on longevity. Although I think Greinke is a nod better. He's played 18 years, a 3.41 ERA in a hitter's era. He's approaching 3,000 strikeouts, 219 career wins, a Cy Young in 2009, and twice led Major League Baseball in ERA. In 2015, he was 19-3 with a 1.66 ERA. That's all-time stuff. Greinke's never won 20 games, but he has been dominant. Lester, on the other hand, his career ERA is in a 3.5, a little higher than Greinke's, but he is a five-time All-Star and a three-time World Series champion, which boosts his case. He's never won 20, and he's never won a Cy Young. He did finish fourth twice in the Cy Young voting and second once, but that definitely hurts his case, not having one. Lester led the league in wins one time in 2018 with 18. So I'll say yes to everyone. Scherzer, Hall of Famer. Verlander, Hall of Famer. Even Greinke, Hall of Famer, except Lester. And that might be my Boston bias, but I don't think it is. Because neither him nor Greinke are better than Oral Hershiser, who's not in the Hall of Fame, but injuries hurt him. So, Lester, sorry, no Hall of Fame.
Turn money into more money.
Now it's time for Betting on the Bases with Dave Gascon.
Love that money. Love that money. Rob, what's going on? We lead into another weekend and coming down the stretch of Major League Baseball's regular season. Hard to believe, but we have plenty of winners in sight. Dodgers are in Arizona taking on the Diamondbacks, and they still continue their pursuit of the San Francisco Giants for the division, the National League West. So I'm taking the Dodgers with Clayton Kershaw on the bump in game number one. Outside of that, I like the matchup with the Yankees and the Boston Red Sox. Those two teams vying for a wild card spot. Nathan Eovaldi versus Gerrit Cole in the pitching matchup there. I'm going with the Yankees in this one. They are going to be a road team in this affair. Cole 15-8 this season with a 3.03 ERA. And because the Dodgers are in pursuit of the San Francisco Giants, it only makes sense that I continue to go with the Giants. They're going to be in the Mile High City taking on the Colorado Rockies. Alex Wood versus Peter Lambert in that pitching matchup. Wood's been fantastic so far for San Francisco. 10-4 with an ERA at 3.99. I am taking the road team in that affair. 1, 2, and 3. That's how we do it. Rob, I'll see you next week.
Take out the papers and the trash.
Yeah.
It's time for Trash Talk Twitter. Your chance to trash anyone or anything in Major League Baseball.
This trash comes from David S. And he tweeted me this. I'm trashing Major League Baseball. How is it that one of the two best teams in baseball, not to mention the National League, are going to be relegated to one of the wild card games? Really? Just change the stupid rule. You can reward division winners without screwing the other. You want your best teams out in the first round? There it is. There's David. He's hot and mad. If you want your tweet to be on Trash Talking, make sure you hit me up on Twitter at RobParkerFS1.
Batter up!
It's Jones in for Baseball.
Bravo!
A fan's take on the game we love.
You're out!
Hello, everyone. Hope all is well. On Monday, in the first game of a doubleheader against the Cleveland Indians, Salvador Perez hit his 46th home run of the season. That broke the record held by Johnny Bench for the most home runs hit by a catcher in the season. It also tied him with Vladdy Jr. for the most home runs in the AL. Salvi's currently batting .276 on the season to go along with his league lead 115 RBIs. Not numbers we would normally associate with a catcher, which in my eyes makes what he's done and continuing to do on the season that much more impressive because of the fact he has to catch on an everyday basis and still comes through at the plate. Now, under normal circumstances, these numbers would have won in the discussion for the MVP. However, we all know Otani's going to win the MVP in the AL, so that's a mute point. Speaking of players who can both pitch as well as hit, Anthony Gose made his debut as a pitcher in the second game of the doubleheader for the Cleveland Indians. Now, if that name sounds familiar, yes, in fact, it is the same Anthony Gose that played for the Detroit Tigers in 2015, where he had 23 stolen bases, 24 doubles, and a respectable .254 average. He's remade himself into a pitcher, one that throws triple digits, in fact. It seems something spectacular happens on a daily basis around the league this year. It just goes to show how special the talent in this league is. In my eyes, this regular season will go down as not only one of the most memorable, but also one of my personal favorites. But now, I'm looking forward to the playoffs. I can't lie to you. I can't wait to see how the season will unfold.
Now bring in the closer.
Strike one.
Strike two.
Strike three.
Here's why MLB is better than the NFL or NBA, and it isn't even close.
Reason number 995 why baseball is better than the NFL and the NBA. First, let's tip our hats to the Tampa Bay Rays, who clinched their playoff berth for the third straight year. That's right, whether fans come there or not, they still keep playing and are making the playoffs again. But here's the best part. You know, in some sports, maybe, you know, you can't always keep the game notes or fudge it a little bit. But in baseball, you can. The Rays found the notes from the Blue Jays on how to pitch people, right? Like the cheat sheet. And guess what? They didn't return it. They kept it. You know? I mean, when Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and the Patriots were doing Spygate and checking out on defensive signals, you know, they got the largest fine in the history of the NFL. That's what Belichick got. In baseball, nothing. Losers, keepers, finders, weepers, right? That's what it is. Is that how it goes? pretty funny. But hats off to the Blue Jays. Even if the stadium ain't packed, the Rays just keep winning. And you know what? They will be playing once again in October. In the words of New York TV legend, the late Bill Jorgensen, thanking you for your time this time until next time. Rob Parker, out.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.